I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel 1. Once you find 1 Samuel, go ahead and stand with me, if you will, please. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now look at verse number 24. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 24. The Bible says this, "And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with 3 bullocks, and 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. They slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I ask of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord." And he worshipped the Lord there. Let's pray. Father, bless us today. God, help each of us to realize that in eternity past, you somehow knew what I would preach on. You knew who would be here. You knew what we needed. Now, Father, we didn't, but you did. Father, help us not to miss the purpose for this service. It's not a coincidence. It's not a circumstance that was under our control. But you, God, you knew. You knew what we needed. Now, help each of us to personally open our hearts and minds to the Scripture, and might we be challenged and changed because of thy Spirit's influence in our life today. Give me the attention of the people. I'll give you mine. Spirit of God, make this service lasting in our lives, and might Jesus be glorified, and we pray in his name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I want to talk to you. I'm going to tell you the name of my sermon, and then it'll be self-explanatory. It'll take us just a few minutes to get where we're going because I want to give you a little background. But I want to talk to you about how not to backslide. How not to backslide. Now, first of all, let me make something clear that I'm not going to deal with later on. You can't backslide your way out of salvation. Once you're saved, God saved you. Now, you can backslide yourself into a mess, and you can backslide yourself out of God's blessing, and you can backslide yourself out of all sorts of rewards. But when God saves you, he saves you. And it's salvation was a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But we sure can get ourselves into a lot of messes when we get away from God and we backslide in our Christianity. The story that we just read here is a part of many verses that tell us about a young man by the name of Samuel. Samuel had godly parents. And hey, let me say to every parent here, did you know that your children had no choice about coming into this life? And the truth of the matter is, when you bring children into this life, they ought to be reared for God and in such a way that they can succeed. And so we ought to all be concerned that we raise our children so that they can succeed in life and so that they are good Christians and decent people. It's almost, I think I want to say it this way. Our kids didn't have any choice about coming into this life, but we do have a choice about how to raise them. And that ought to be done according to the Bible. And they ought to be in the right kind of a church where God can bless them. Now, Samuel, this young man by the name of Samuel, he was given by God as an answer to prayer. We're not going to go to it, but in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 5 through 18, his mother was praying that she would have a baby. And when he was born, God wanted the boy. God wanted the boy to serve him. But she said, well, I want my boy. I prayed him here and I wanted him. And now I'm giving him to God. I want him to serve God. Samuel's father was a Levite of the family of Kohath. The Kohathites were the people that carried the furniture for the tabernacle. So Samuel had a good mom. Samuel had a good dad. And Samuel, the name Samuel means the name of God. And it kind of shows you the godliness of his mom and dad. The Bible teaches us that Samuel grew up at the house of God. Samuel was put into the care of the high priest, and when he was a child, he was used of God. It actually says in 1 Samuel 2:18 that he ministered before the Lord being a child. Don't get the wrong idea, folks. Somehow we get the idea that children and teenagers, that they can't serve God with your life. You have to wait till you're adult, and that's just not true. That is not true at all. There are we have a lot of young people in our church that are very deeply involved with serving God, and they've given their lives. One of our boys named Josh this morning preached on the bus. Why? A teenager. Why? Because it was the right thing to do, and he was excited about it. Our young people were out visiting people, telling them about the Lord this week. And this young man named Samuel was busy serving the Lord. Samuel got called of God. There's a story of how he was living at the house of God, and he heard the voice of God, and he wasn't sure who it was, because, and now me, if I heard the voice of God, I wouldn't be sure who that was either. Now, God speaks to my heart, but he's never spoken to me, you know, out loud, and if he did, I'd probably hide under the bed the first time, and so would you. But he heard the voice of God, and he wasn't sure who it was, and he thought it was Eli, the preacher, if you will. But God finally revealed himself to this young man named Samuel. And Samuel grew up, and Samuel was, his parents wanted him to serve God. Now, Samuel had never become a king. He anointed kings, and he was very influential on King David. I would say this, Samuel became what we'd call a kingmaker. Samuel was not a king, but there were a lot of men that came under his influence, and they became great, great men. Samuel was a very well-rounded man and a complete man. Samuel was the last of the judges. He was the first of the prophets. He was a priest, and everything he did well. He trained others. Some of you have heard there in the Old Testament, there was a group, there were a couple of colleges they called the Schools of the Prophets. And most people give credit to the School of the Prophets to Elijah and Elisha, but they actually started with Samuel. Samuel started, so they were Old Testament training institutions like Bible colleges where young men and young women would be trained to serve God. Now, Samuel's the one that started all those. Now, all of that to say this, according to what I can see in the Bible, Samuel never seriously backslid. You don't find in the scripture a story of when Samuel was just out of the will of God and totally messed up. Nowhere in the scripture do you find a place where Samuel seems to have been backslidden. Now, as a result of that, I think, listen, if I found a man who was used of God in the Bible and I can't find a place where he got real backslidden. Now, he wasn't perfect. He was still a sinner. I mean, nobody's perfect and everybody sins, but I don't see a serious backsliding incident in Samuel's life. And as a result of that, I thought to myself, well, I don't want to get backslidden. If I could figure out what Samuel did, maybe it would help me. And I don't know about you, but you ought to say the same thing. You shouldn't want to get backslidden. Now, some of you are backslidden right now, but there's some of you that are not. Now, if you're backslidden right now, maybe I'll show you how you got in the mess that you're in. If you're not backslidden right now, maybe I can show you how not to end up in a backslidden mess. But I'm going to glance at some of the qualities of Samuel's life, and I want to show you what Samuel, I think, did to keep himself from backsliding. Now, before I really get into it, let me tell you this. You look at the other great men in the Bible, and you're going to see they all, you just find times when they had a bad week or a bad month or a bad year, and they got backslidden. You even take the Apostle Paul, which I think, other than Jesus Christ, is the greatest Christian in the New Testament. There's a time that Paul kind of got away from the Lord. Paul took a Jewish vow that he wasn't supposed to take. And the reason he took it is because he did a weak thing trying to reach some weak people, and it wasn't the right thing to do. But Paul got himself backslidden. Peter got backslidden. You remember when Peter found himself warming his hands by the what we call the devil's fire, and somebody said, "Hey, Peter, aren't you with Jesus?" And he denied, and he cussed, and he lied. So Paul got backslidden, and Peter got backslidden. David, we all know the story of David. We know how he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had Uriah killed. He got backslidden. Abraham got backslidden. He lied about who his wife was and told somebody that his wife was his sister, so he got himself backslidden. Samson got backslidden, as we know. He married the heathen gal by the name of Delilah, and that then reveals his power secret to her, but Samson got backslidden, and David got backslidden, and Abraham got backslidden, and Peter got backslidden, and Paul got backslidden, and we all know what we call Thomas, old Thomas the what? The doubter. Well, evidently he got backslidden enough to get that nickname. Some of you could take on the name Powder. You could be Donnie the Powder. But he was a doubter, so he did something wrong. Noah we find out that when the ark settled, he got drunk and misbehaved, and he got backslidden. But let me tell you, and so, hey, by the way, might I say, if you find yourself away from the Lord, now, there have been other people who have been away from the Lord. That doesn't mean your Christian life is over with. That doesn't mean you have to throw in the towel and give up. Those people, they made comebacks. They got back on track, and they got their hearts straightened out with God. But I want you to know that if great men like Paul and Peter and David and Abraham and Samson and Thomas and Noah, if all of them could find a time when they gotten away from the Lord and they stopped serving God like they should, I guess if they could, so could you. And so you all know, just one little hint about it, you get backslidden in the privacy of your heart and mind before it becomes public. You're always backslidden in the privacy of your heart, in the privacy of your mind, then the privacy of your home before it is revealed to where the public gets to see your condition. But if these great men could get backslidden, so could you and I. But one of the things I see is we have this Old Testament figure named Samuel, and I don't see where he did. I don't see where he backslid. So I'm going to tell you what I found out about Samuel, and I think it can help you. If you're backslidden, you might figure out the error of your way. If you're not, hey, let it be a warning to you. And if I were you, I would set a goal to be like Samuel. I'd say, you know what? I would like it to be said. Some of you young people that have been reared in a Christian home all your life, you've not had a season where you're out getting drunk or being immoral or messing up your life. You know what you might want to do? Why don't you set a goal to be like Samuel and say, I'd like it to be said that I made it through my Christian life without having a terrible season of backsliding. Now, you're not going to accomplish perfection. You're going to have your struggles. But you don't have to have a great big bad black spot on your record. You could have a decent, moral, clean, consistent life. But let me show you some things about Samuel that I think helped him that he did not have this time of backsliding on his record. For instance, to keep himself from backsliding, Samuel kept himself busy in the work of God. He was busy in the work of God. Do you know that Samuel was a prophet? Samuel was a priest. And Samuel was a judge, all things that God assigned him to. I would say he's a pretty busy man. There were only four positions in that time that a man could hold. Prophet, priest, judge, and king. And God made it so you couldn't hold all four because you could not be a king and be one of the others. So Samuel, he was holding three high level, very involved, very deeply committed positions for God. He was busy serving God. Well, let me explain it to you. Did you know that if you're busy serving God, you don't have time to serve the devil? It's just good time management. You know what some of your problem is? You have way too much time on your hands. And I'm telling you, if you'll fill your life with good, you don't have as much time for bad. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, it uses these words, they have addicted themselves to the ministry. Folks, if you want to keep yourself from backsliding, may I recommend to you that you get involved and that you stay involved with the church and the things of God. Did you know you ought to stay busy reading your Bible and busy with a prayer life, and you ought to stay busy serving God? I tell you what you do. When I watch people start quitting their duties at the church, you can almost always watch if they don't get that thing under control, the thing of quitting on God, they'll find themselves out of church and backslidden. Why? You've got to stay busy doing right if you don't want to find yourself busy doing wrong. Oh, one of the best ways in the world to get right in your, or get wrong out of your life is to fill your life with good and right. Did you know that quitting can become a habit? You start quitting things on God, it becomes habitual. And the more you quit, the easier it gets. So here's what I would say. If you have duties at the church now, keep them. Hey, teenagers, don't you stop coming to teen soul winning. Don't stop your bus route. Sunday school teacher, don't quit your Sunday school class. Nursery worker, don't quit on God. Choir member, don't quit on God. Greeter at the door, don't quit on God. Soul winner, don't quit on God. Bus worker, don't quit on God. I'll tell you why. Samuel kept himself busy. And we know one thing about Samuel. He did not have a season of backsliding. Well, we find out that he was busy in the work of the Lord. And if you're busy doing good, you have less time to do bad. If you fill your life with good, the chances of bad are minimized. And so you say, I don't want to backslide. Then have you heard someone say that idle time is the devil's playground? Now, folks, stay busy for God. You say, well, preacher, I'm struggling with backsliding. Well, maybe then what you need to do is you need to get in and get busy in the church and start filling up part of your life. We got a big old building to take care of around here and all sorts of things that need to be done. Now, everybody can't do everything. That's just a fact. But I am telling you, we've got to make sure if we don't want to backslide that we stay busy doing right so there's no time for doing wrong. Secondly, I seen that Samuel, in an effort not to backslide, do you know that he actually lived at the church? Now, folks, I don't want you to bring your pillows and you won't need to bring, you know, your towel and your washcloth and things. We don't need you to move in at the church. But Samuel actually lived at the church. And I want to point this out. Do you understand? He definitely had a commitment to the church. He definitely was involved. He had his duties that kept him busy, but he had a commitment to that church. In Psalm 84, verse 3, it says, yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. What's happening here, the psalmist was looking at the tabernacle of God. He seen that the birds were coming, and they were building their nests in the decorative parts of the tabernacle of God. And he said, look, that bird gets to live here. Look, that bird's nest is built right at the house of God. Look, that sparrow, it gets to give birth to its children and then raise its children right here. I might warn you all, we do have some pigeons that seem to nest right above the entryway out here. And so I'm just telling you, be careful. That falling from the sky is not snow, though it could be white. When you come in out there, those pigeons, and we'll get rid of them eventually. But we have birds that are nesting here at the house of God. But what I want you to understand is Samuel did not have a season of terrible backsliding in his life. But you know what? Samuel was at the church as often as he could be. I believe Samuel was the kind of guy that attended what was going on down at the church. He didn't leave church after Sunday school. He came to Sunday school. He came to church. He came to night church. He got involved in the Wednesday night services. Hey, I believe that Samuel, parents, let me tell you something. Boy, if we don't give our kids something good to do, they'll find something, and it might not be so good. You got to give them good things to do. That's why Brother Ellswick has youth activities. That's why King's Kids is here. That's why we have a Flyers Club. That's why we have Teenage Soul Winning. That's why we do those sort of things. Wait. We've got to stay involved. If we'll stay involved around a good place, we're less apt to go out and get involved in the bad places. If we stay involved doing good things, we are less apt to backslide and find ourselves doing bad things. Boy, listen, stay involved. Get committed. Before I was a pastor, and Mrs. Owens and I, we were at church. I mean, if they were having an activity and it applied to us in any way, shape, or form, we wanted to be involved. We wanted our kids to know that this was a great place. Here's something that's missing in this generation of Christianity. We build our life around the church. We didn't work the church in all the leftover spots. The church became the focal point, and everything else we built around God. And we built around the local New Testament church. And I'm telling you, that's part of the key. That's one of the reasons why this young man by the name of Samuel did not have a time of backsliding. What was he? He was busy doing good, so he did not have time to do bad. He was busy being in a good place, so his time was not consumed in what we might call the bad places. Hey, get your kids involved in the teen choir. Get your kids involved in the children's choir. Get them into Flyers Club. Get them into King's Kids. Get them into Youth Ablaze. Get them on that bus route. Get involved. Hey, ladies, when we have a ladies' fellowship, Mrs. Owens and I were working on the next coming ladies fellowship in the month of October. When we advertise that, come and be a part. Men, get into that prayer meeting. Become a part. Don't just come by and visit every once in a while and just say, you know, it's almost like you're tipping your hat to God. Let me pop by and say hi to you real quick. God, oh no, your life shouldn't be like that. Let the church become a central part of your life. That's how Samuel kept from backsliding. He virtually lived at the church. Thirdly, I notice this, to keep himself from backsliding, Samuel did what was preached from the Word of God. He did what was preached from the Word of God. Eli gave Samuel specific instructions, and you'll find that Samuel did what Eli told him. If you read the scripture there, if you read what we read earlier, you'll find out the preacher would preach or speak and teach the Word of God to young Samuel, and Samuel, he was not just being entertained by the preacher's words. He was being challenged and changed. Did you know that part of the pastor's job, it says in Hebrews 13:17, it describes it this way. It says, they watch for your souls. Do you know what part of what I'm supposed to do? I am to challenge you. I'm to challenge you to change your life. I'm to challenge you. And I am not just here so you can say, you know what? I went down to the church. I listened to a sermon and I've got that responsibility off my list for the week. No, we're supposed to meet here. We're to meet with God. You're to hear what God said through the preacher, through the preaching, through the Word of God. And believe it or not, you're supposed to live that. It's to change your life. We didn't just come here to show off our new dress or our new car. We didn't just come here to make contact with some business person in the church. We're here because God brought us here to help us to learn how to live our lives. Samuel followed the instructions that God had given him through Eli, the man of God. In 1 Samuel 3:9, the Lord spoke to Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli. You know what that means? The Lord spoke to Samuel. Samuel thought it was Eli. In other words, Samuel said, those instructions sound like they're from the man of God. They were from God. And you might think when the man of God said, you ought to be in church, you say, well, that's just what the preacher said. No, that's what God said. Don't get mixed up with this frail, ugly person standing in front of you. I'm to give you what God gave. And if you're not careful, you'll spend all your time saying, ah, he's just a man, and ah, that's just a preacher, and ah. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't pick to be a preacher. God picked me, and he told me to preach the Word of God. I'm just here as a representative. And if you want to look at it as if, ah, that's just a man, sure, I am just a man. But God wants to groom, and he wants to grow you through the preaching of the Word of God. And so Samuel did what the man of God preached from the Word of God. You say, well, Brother Owens, do you think the preacher's always right? Oh, no. But I tell you what I learned in my experience. I used to look at the preacher and I said, ah, that preacher isn't always right, but he's probably right more often about the Word of God than I am. Boy, I'll tell you something. Today, we practice what we call pitchfork religion. You know what pitchfork religion is? The preacher throws it out there and you take your pitchfork and you scoop it up and say, boy, does my wife need this, and you throw it over there toward her. And the preacher throws something out there and you say, boy, does my teenage son need this, so you scoop it up and you throw it over his way. And then the preacher throws out something and you say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, old brother so-and-so, preacher's really getting on him today, so you scoop it up and you throw it over toward brother so-and-so. We play way too much pitchfork religion. Can I tell you something? Put your pitchfork down. Let it land at your feet. Let it change your life. Let it convict you. You need to take care of you and get you right with God. And I'm just here to tell you, Samuel did not have a season of backsliding because Samuel did what was preached. And you say, well, preacher, that's obvious. I know, but why don't we do it? We come to church thinking that was good for him, that was good for her. Oh, that was cute. I liked that. That moved me emotionally. Well, God would like to move you more than emotionally. God would like to see you take it further than just your emotional, the vibration that you got. Oh, that just thrilled me. Well, I hope it thrills you enough to get you back in church and start tithing and get yourself right with God. We're not just trying to thrill you emotionally and give you a spiritual buzz. Oh, it felt so good today. Well, good night. I'm glad you felt good, but I helped you. It made you feel good enough to do something about it. We didn't bring you here to tickle your belly. or pat you on the head. God brought you to church to help you get right with God. And that changes your life. You know, you're not supposed to be right with God just at this building. It's out there too. But this man named Samuel, wow. I mean, we see all these people that backslid, Paul and Peter and David and Abraham, but Samuel didn't. How is it that Samuel, and maybe Samuel's parents, how did they pull this off? Well, he was busy at God's work, so he didn't have time to do wrong. He spent a lot of time at the church, so he wasn't where he should not be. I'm going to tell you all something. There's some of you, one of these days, you're going to end up in a real mess some Sunday night or Wednesday night. You're going to end up in a backslid mess, and I'll tell you why. You weren't in church. You weren't in church. You weren't where you were supposed to be, and you weren't doing what you were supposed to be doing, so you find yourself doing what you shouldn't do in a place where you shouldn't be, and church services sure can teach you a quick lesson about that. But Samuel, he was busy about his service to God. He was very active in his church. When the preacher preached, he took it personally and he said, "That's for me. I'm going to change my life." Next, to keep himself from seriously backsliding, Samuel's parents learned how to teach him about authority and taught him to back the authority of God's word and the leadership in his life. Samuel's mother believed in Eli and allowed Samuel to get very close to the man of God. Let me teach y'all something. You want your kids to respect authority, you better not go around constantly criticizing authority. Let me bring it on home. There are mothers in this room. You would like your child to be a decent American citizen and respect their boss and respect authority in life, but you spend your time criticizing your husband to your kids. You criticize your husband in front of your kids, but then you expect your kids to have respect, and vice versa. Do you know something? If every Sunday on the way home from church, you're griping and complaining about the preacher, and I probably give you plenty to gripe and complain about, but if you're driving home and you're griping and complaining about this and about that, and that preacher this, that preacher that, you know what you're teaching your child? To be a critic of the preacher. Now, one of these days, hey, the preacher's going to stand up and preach the word of God, and your child needed to be influenced by that preaching, but your child already has an attitude about the preacher, that preacher this, and that preacher that, and that preacher this, and that preacher that, your dad this, your dad that, your mom this, your mom that, your teacher this, that cop this, that this. You want your child to be a rebel? You go ahead and just criticize every bit of leadership in this world. By the way, that'll turn on you. You wonder why your child does not respect you. It's because you don't respect any other authorities. You know, there are people that are bigger than you and have more power than you, and it might be good sometimes that you show respect to them. But in the story of Samuel, Samuel's parents understood that Samuel had to be taught the importance of authority. The Bible says in Romans 13:1, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers." Your kids will backslide if you're not careful in regard to your negativity about leadership all the time. I don't think there's any perfect leadership other than the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Himself. But folks, we do have to live in this world, and there has to be some sort, there cannot be anarchy, and there has to be some sort of respect for leadership. And every parent in here believes, I want my child to respect me, but your child ought to learn to respect others too. Be careful criticizing their teachers all the time and criticizing every principal. And I've always said this. I don't claim to be a great leader. I don't claim to be a great anything, but sometimes a great goof up. But if you want to criticize me, I don't mind. I do not mind you criticizing me. I don't mind you talking about me. If you'll do it this way, on your knees to God, talk about me all day. Matter of fact, I beg of you. Go to God for about 2 hours a day, every day, and tell Him everything that I need. I beg. But you're criticizing me to your wife, and I don't know of anybody that's critical of me. I'm not trying to fix anything, not anything broken. Look right at me. Listen, let me tell you something. You criticizing the preacher to your wife or to your husband or to your kids is not going to get you anywhere. Is that the only power that you have in life? Are you so whittled down to where you've just got to make your statement that way? You're not going to get anywhere that way. Eli was the man of God. Samuel's mom and dad and Samuel had learned respect for authority. Now, folks, if you don't learn respect for proper authorities, you will backslide. You will backslide. You will get away from God. I do not think our youth director is perfect. I do not think our song director is perfect. I do not think that our deacons are perfect. But I'll tell you this, they're trying very hard to serve God. They're trying very hard to do the right thing. If we all go around criticizing all the leadership all the time because it's not perfect, didn't we already know that we're not perfect? What good are we doing by minimizing the spiritual leadership in our lives? We're just destroying ourselves and the attitude of our children toward leadership. And I see Samuel had a good attitude toward leadership. And so Samuel did not have a great time of backsliding. Why? Well, he was busy doing right, so he didn't have time to do wrong. Samuel didn't have a great time of backsliding. Why? Because of where he was in a good place at church, which kept him out of the bad places. He did not have a bad time of backsliding. How? Because he did what he was preached, what he heard preached by the man of God. He actually did it. Samuel did not have a bad time of backsliding. Why? Because Samuel had developed a right attitude toward authority, and he knew how to submit to that authority, and he didn't have a critical spirit toward it. Next, to keep himself from backsliding, Samuel cared more about others than he cared for himself. He cared more about others than he cared for himself. As already mentioned, Samuel served others. Boy, if you look at it, he was a prophet, he was a priest, he was a judge. Do you know what all three of those positions do? They serve. The priest served. The prophet served. The judge served. Ephesians 6:33 tells us, "Peace be to the brethren that I love." Let me tell you something, folks. If you get it, when you and I get self-centered, we're on our way to being backslidden. When you make you the most important thing, that's your flesh. That's your pride. You're heading toward being backslidden. Hey, what have you done for someone outside your immediate family lately? You know, some of you would feel better if you did something for somebody other than yourself. If you're backslidden right now, hey, what are you doing for somebody else? There are people sitting in this room. You're backslidden. Now, you take care of your family, but can I tell you something? So do lost people. But there are people right now in this room, you are backslidden, and I'll tell you why. You've got your eyes off the needs of others, and you've got your eyes, you're just focused in on you. Your life is all me, 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 mine, my. What can I get? I'll tell you, number one, you're already backslidden with that attitude, but it's going to get worse. Good Christians keep their eyes on others. Good Christians are concerned about the needs of others. Somebody here, you need to take groceries to somebody that's needy. You need to meet somebody's need. Hey, you need to ask the question, how may I help? What could I do to help? Look, there are new families in our church. Go meet them. Invite them to your home for a meal. Do something, but I'm just going to tell you something, folks. Samuel, his whole life was caught up in others. You know what that is? It's a cause. Now, folks, if you don't get a spiritual cause, you will end up being backslidden. You got to have a purpose. You got to have a reason. Look, you teenagers that work on that bus route, do you realize there were 15 people saved in our service last Sunday? That's a great cause for you, going out and getting people and bringing them to Jesus Christ. But if you take your eyes off the people that need to be saved and the people that need to be brought to church, and you get your eyes on yourself, you'll find yourself backslidden in no time flat. Now, folks, let me tell I am thrilled. I am so glad that we live in America. I am so glad that we get to own nice cars, and we get to have nice houses, and we get to have some money, and we get to have food. But I'm going to tell you, we put things before God and others way, way too much. And I happen to believe this. I believe this is America. I think you can buy a house. I think you can have a retirement. I think there's things like that that you can have. And it's the American dream. But I'm going to tell you this. If your whole life is all caught up in your car and your house and your boat and your clothes and your money and your bank account, and you don't serve God, and you're not helping other people, and you're not loving, and I'm not talking about you and yours, that little unit of yours, that lost people even do that, as I've already said. I'm talking about if you're not reaching outside the box and concerned about the poor and concerned about the souls of men, you're going to be a backslidden, and matter of fact, you already are a backslidden Christian. Samuel was concerned about more than Samuel's self. By the way, remember Samuel does not have on record a serious time of backsliding. Do you see how busy Samuel is obeying God? What's he doing? Samuel, he's doing right, so he's not doing wrong. He's in the right place, so he's not in the wrong place. He's taking the preaching personally. He is respecting the authority of the Word of God and the man of God. He is there, and he's not just concerned about himself, he's concerned about others, which, folks, again, that's just basic Christianity. Isn't basic Christianity others? Isn't it all supposed to be about let's take care of others, even all the way down to our enemies? We're to be good to them. Not only that, Samuel did not have a serious time of backsliding because Samuel spoke out for the Lord. He spoke out for the Lord. And some of you, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you even with what goes on at work and school. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 1, it uses these words about Samuel. It says, all Israel heard the words of Samuel. Huh. The whole country. And so you know, they didn't tweet or blog back then. They didn't have internet. They could not text. They did not have telephone. But everybody in the country of Israel heard the words of Samuel. Amazing. And he was a prophet, he was a priest, and he was a judge, and he was never seriously backslidden. I'm going to guess Samuel was telling people about the Lord, wasn't he? The whole nation heard about it. Let me tell you all something. Somehow telling others about Jesus helps us stay in line with God. There's some of you went to work somewhere. And you didn't let people know you were Christian when you got there. And so you started listening to the filthy jokes and making the comments and going out with them to eat afterwards, where going places you shouldn't have been going. And you know how you could have controlled all that? When you first got there, you should have let them know, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. Now you're in a mess. Because now you've tainted your reputation, and now you're going to have to speak up and say, you know what, I shouldn't have been doing that all along. And I would recommend, if you've got yourself in that kind of a mess where you did not speak up for Jesus and mark your territory and let them know I'm a Christian, if you did not, you need to go to work and do it. And I'm not saying being rude. I'm not telling you to be a jerk. For some of you, you might just need to admit that you've been a backslidden Christian. You might need to go to work and say, you know, I'm not going to do that. I can't participate in that. When they say why, you can say, you know something? I'm supposed to be a Christian, and I've not behaved right, and I apologize. I've embarrassed myself in front of you, but I just can't do that anymore. But I'm going to tell you, Samuel did not have a terrible time of backsliding, and when he was at the top, he was not afraid to tell people he belonged to Jesus. He was not afraid to tell people. And let me tell you all something. Don't you be afraid to tell people you're born again Christian. You've got to tell them that you're saved. You've got to tell them you're a Christian. You say, but I feel outnumbered. Look, you and Jesus make a majority. You don't have to feel outnumbered. But even if you are outnumbered, don't you think Jesus has been outnumbered for you and I? They crucified him while he was dying for you. And listen, you tell them at work, you tell them at school. Young people, if you want to live right at school, there's going to be times where you're going to have to say to somebody, I'm a Christian, I don't do that. I don't listen to that. I don't act that way. I'm not going to participate in that because I'm a Christian. Soul winning, somehow, it kind of keeps us on track. I say there's some of you need to get you some gospel tracts and pass them out. You need to let somebody know that you're a Christian and let somebody know how to be born again. Hey, and let me tell you this. I don't think ever should we become what we would call arrogant pride or arrogantly proud of our church. We attend the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. It's not the only church in the world. Now, I know this. It's the church that God's put me in. I know it's a church where I'm supposed to be. I know it's the will of God for me. But I am going to tell you something. If you walk around and you're ashamed of your church, you will backslide sooner or later. I mean, listen, if Mrs. Owens and I, if we were out on a date and we went to the mall and we were walking along and somehow we got separated, which we often do. You say, what happens? I go sit down. She keeps on shopping. I'll tell you what, man, I used to not understand the benches at the front of Walmart when I was younger. I got it down now. I understand why they put those benches up the front of Walmart. You go in, you sit down, you cut her loose, you meet her on the way out. But if we went to the mall and we got separated and I was sitting somewhere and somebody came over to me and said, hey, by the way, is that lady right there? Is she with you? And I said, no, no. Are you married to her? And I said, no. Well, you know her? Yeah, I know her. I'm around her some. Now, is that fair or right that I'd treat my wife that way? Well, some of you treat your church that way. Yeah, you know what? That's your church. It's your church. You claim it. You claim it. Nothing to be ashamed of. You say, oh, that's just proud and arrogant. No, you're just backslidden and weak. That's my church. I say this sincerely all the time. If this isn't the best place for you, then go find it. I don't have any problem saying that at all. I mean, look, I you know what I want for you? I love, and some of you, I don't know you very well, but I love you enough. I want you in the very best place in the world where you're going to grow in the Lord and become the strongest Christian you can be. And if you can find someplace else to do it better, move, go quick. Well, I'll tell you something. If you find it, I believe there's a connection. We all sing, I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I'm glad of that too, and I'm not ashamed of it. And you know, the local New Testament church is where the family meets. And so I believe that Samuel, one of the reasons he didn't backslide is he wasn't afraid to say, I'm a Christian. And I don't think Samuel was afraid to go, I go down to the tabernacle. I don't think he was ashamed of that. He didn't go to this, that, or the other. I think he told him where he went to church. I mean, don't you think Eli was his best friend? Do you think he denied the fact that he knew Eli? I don't know Eli. I don't have anything to do with that wacko Eli. I mean, he's that old conservative gray-haired goat that's been taking care of the church down there so long. I don't want anything to do with that. No, I think Samuel said, Eli, that's my pastor, and that's my church, and that's my God, and I believe the old-time way. That's how he kept from backsliding. He wasn't all the time distancing himself from the things of God. He was pulling up close to it. He was up close to the services. He was up close to serving. He was up close to the right kind of people. And he didn't backslide. It's when you do this. Got to get away from serving. Get away from the church what I can. Get away from the right kind of people. What is backsliding? Moving away. Be careful now. You wouldn't backslide as easily at work if some of you take some gospel tracts to work with you and pass them out. Matter of fact, there's some of you need to go to work and take your Bible out and put it on your desk. Put it in the dash of your truck. Put it where somebody can see it. But because we don't label ourselves, it makes it easy for the devil to coax us. Matter of fact, we're making place for it. Samuel did not seriously backslide. Now, I know he backslid, and I know he wasn't right with God all the time. But as I have looked at this and studied it, there's no doubt in my mind these things. Number one, he kept himself busy serving God, so he did not have time to do wrong. Secondly, he kept himself in the right places, involved at church, so he didn't have the spare time to go to the wrong places. Thirdly, when the preaching came, he took it personally and did not just admire it, he enacted it in his life. Fourthly, he had learned respect for authority so that there would be controls in his life and that he was not all the time tearing the authorities down that would help him to stay right with God. Next, he cared more about others than himself, and he had a cause that kept him close to God and in God's service. And then, he spoke out for the Lord. Those things, I believe, are the reasons why Samuel didn't find himself in a backslidden mess. I think the absence of those things in your life, it's either what got you backslidden, or it is what is going to allow you to backslide. Let's be careful. If you're already backslidden, you ought to get right with God. You ought to get it straightened out. So you know what, Lord? I need to get reinvolved. I need to get back into church. I need to get some things straightened out. If you're not backslidden, let these things warn you. I'm finished. But if you're not saved, the whole key is Jesus Christ. If you died today and you're not sure you'd go to heaven, you need to get that cared for. You say, preacher, I'd like to serve God, but I just can't figure it out. Getting saved is the first step. You get saved, then He'll help you to know how to serve Him. You need His strength to live your life His way. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The first question is this. I want to talk to you about the thing of salvation. Is there anyone here that would say, Pastor, if I died today, I don't know for a fact I'd go to heaven. I do not know that for sure. Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved, but would you please pray for me? I don't know I'm going to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. I need to be saved. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand right now and say, I'm not sure if I die today I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure of that. Pray for me. I see a hand. Someone else, you'll say, Pastor, I'm not sure. All right. If you're not saved, in a moment we'll have an altar call. That means you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Who here, under the sound of my voice, might say, Pastor, I see some areas in my life where I've slipped away from God. I see some areas where maybe I am slipping some, and God's spoken to my heart about it, and I need to work on those areas. God helping me. God's spoken to my heart today about it, and I want to make sure I don't have a terrible situation on my hands by backsliding terribly, but I see it, and God's spoken to my heart about it. Would you raise your hand so God can see it? Hands up all over the place. Sure. And we all need to work on these things. You may put your hands down. If you're here and you feel like you're sliding a little bit, get it worked on. We're going to have an altar call. If you're not saved and you need the altar, you come. If you're saved and you say, I'm not even feeling backslidden, but boy, I'm going to ask God to help me not to get backslidden. I want Samuel to be my example. So, preacher, I don't feel a terrible season of backsliding in my life, but I think I need the altar just to ask God to give me his watch care and protection that I might live what I've been taught. We're going to have an altar call. If you need the altar, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. You come. Young, old alike, married, single. If you need this altar, you come and say, Lord, I do not want to be backslidden. If you are backslidden, maybe you need to come and get it right with the Lord. You need to come and say, God, I'm coming back. I've gotten away. I've slidden away. Some of you used to be more active in church. You need to get reactive. Some of you used to be more faithful in church, but you've slid away. Some of you used to care about others more. Oh, caring about others used to be an issue for you, but you've gotten away from it. You're just so caught up in your life. And I don't know that you're necessarily doing wicked, bad things, but you're just not helping people. God left us behind to become a part of His workforce, not just to earn money. We're to be a part of His workforce, to make an impact on others. There's some of you, someday you need to get yourself straightened out so you can become a part of that bus ministry. And some of you need to get yourself to the point where you live right, where you could become a Sunday school teacher. Those things are important. God did not save you to sit in a pew. God saved you to serve. The pew's just where you sit to get the instructions for the service that God intended for you. The piano will continue to play. You take your time. Boy, when I look at it and I realize that there were so many greats that got backslidden. Boy, if they could, we certainly could. If Abraham could, I could. If Samson could, you could. If David could, you could. If those great people, if Thomas could be labeled a doubter, I wonder what they would label us with. Folks, let's be careful. We don't want to find ourselves in a backslidden condition. And what an excellent Old Testament example is Samuel. No severe time of backsliding. But there was a plan. His parents had a plan. He had a plan. And they lived that plan. And it made Samuel, I think, one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. This will be the last time through the song. If you yet need the altar, you may come. Remain standing for a moment.